Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. He who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who heads leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. So Romans 12 starts a new chapter in the thought process for Paul in his letter to the Romans. And in from chapter 2 to about mid-chapter 15, he's giving us a specific exhortation to the Roman Christians, particularly, you know, concerning their outlook, their attitude, and their actions. And so, you know, he's talking, remember, all before there about being justified by faith. You know, and so, you know, the righteousness, you know, your justification, you know, all these wonderful things. And now he kind of gets to the conclusion, and he's basically saying, well, this is what it means. And so this is what it means to have a life that's lived out by faith. This is what it means to be justified in God. And he goes to our actions as a people of God. And this, you know, Jesus had, you know, Matthew chapter 5, he had the Sermon on the Mount, which was the really, just an incredible portrayal of how to live that Christian life. I want to suggest to you that Romans 12 is Paul's Sermon on the Mount. You know, this is the way that in Paul's estimation, how we should be living our lives. And in a very similar way in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you know, the Beatitudes was revolutionary. Even Paul, what he says, it's still, you know, very much tied into, you know, the Beatitudes, but in itself, it's pretty revolutionary. And so he starts the whole thing by saying, you know, I urge you, brothers, right, and this also means sisters, you know, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. Notice the oxymoron that's placed there. He says a living sacrifice, right? You know, remember, a sacrifice is actually dead, right? A sacrifice is something that you lift, put on the altar, and you're supposed to kill it, right? And so he's giving us a different picture of the Christian life, you know, and it's not just for you to die. It's actually for you to live that death out. You know, the prison system, they have this phrase called dead man walking, you know, and someone's walking to, you know, his execution, you know, and in the same way, you know, we ought to live our own lives on this earth as if we're dead, right? He says this living and holy sacrifice, right? Sacrifice that which is dead, right? But we're still living. Right? In other words, right, we're living out that death here on this earth. You know, and Chuck Swindoll, in one of his sermons, actually I think it was one of his books, you know, he said years ago, he says, the problem with Christians and the living sacrifice, he says, as Christians, we take ourselves off the altar. You know, and, you know, it's pretty, wise remark. And that's what we do, right? We're on the altar of God, but as soon as it seems inconvenient for us, we just get off the altar. I don't want to do that. You know, and Paul's, he's urging us. He says, I urge you, brothers, right? By the mercy of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, right? Not acceptable to anybody else, right? But acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you know, Paul later write, and it says, you know, church, you know, Thessalonians, I urge you, right, give yourself, you know, your body, your soul, your spirit, right, you know, every aspect of who you are, give these things to God. And it's the same idea, you know, and remember, he's speaking to a Roman audience, you know, that will just have been full of debauchery, right, full of sin and wickedness, and, you know, and the way they're raised and all these things. And he's saying, look, present your bodies, you know, your lives as holy and living before God. You know, remember the Greek mindset, you know, was very much is it Dionysian? Forget the philosopher. But the mindset was basically that because the spirit, right, with the spiritual realm, because that was so much more superior than the physical realm, it didn't matter what you did with your body. It didn't matter what you did physically. What matters is how you were spiritually. You know, and so there was this huge divorce between, you know, this kind of high morality of Greek thought to actually living the life, you know, in that kind of morality, you know, and things. And so, you know, it was nothing for a Greek Christian, right, to you know, to be a Christian and to love God and do all these things, and then to go sleep with prostitutes, right? You know, because it was ingrained in their mindset. And Paul says, no, listen, right? Present your bodies, you know, your flesh. This matters too, he's saying, right? As a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice before God. And so he's changing the mindset, right? And so then he tells them, right? Because look at the audience, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, right? Doesn't that sound very similar to what Jesus said in John 17? You're in this world, but you're not of this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, where your mind, these are where your thoughts, and these are all the temptations. Everything happens. You know, when people talk about spiritual warfare, you know, you gotta understand, spiritual warfare takes place right here in the mind. This is the battlefield for everything that's happening in our lives. And he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, some people, you know, I've heard people teach that these are three different wills of God, right? There's a good will, there's an acceptable will, and there's a perfect will. I don't know. I don't know if that's what it really means. You know, I think it's just talking about one, right? His will is good, acceptable, and perfect, right? But if that knocks your socks off, then go ahead and you could interpret it that way, I guess. And then he gets into his real point, right? And he says, look, you ought not to think more highly of yourself, you know. And the reference to this is actually talking about the gifts, because that's what he's going to get to later on, right? And so you have an instance where, you know, the Roman believers, I mean, because of their ignorance or whatnot, you know, they started getting quite puffed up, you know, because of the gifts and what God has given to them. And so he tells them, he says, listen, guys, we're just one body. You're all just one little piece of that body, right? And whatever God's blessed you with, right, it's to benefit the body. You know, and I know the women's ministry did a spiritual gifts seminar this past Saturday, and we'll continue on in that theme. You know, and as my wife Lisa was preparing all these things, you know, one thing I kept stressing to her was that you have to make sure that when you study spiritual gifts, right, that it doesn't simply become an individual pursuit. You know, and that happens a lot, right? People just want to walk in their giftedness and, you know, want to, you know, to grow and that, in their gifts. And that's fine, right? But the gifts were always given to benefit the body, right? It was never given, right, to benefit the individual member. You know, I mean, there is a joy in ministering out of your gift, right? You know, and I mean, that happens naturally, right? But spiritual gifts were always given to build up the body. You know, and so, you know, I always, as a pastor, I always get weary when you know, people portray spiritual gifts as some kind of individual pursuit. It was never meant to be individual. It was always meant to be wrapped in the body. And whenever you see Paul talk about the gifts, right, he always talks about the body almost simultaneously, you know, because it's meant to be for the body of Christ, right? The gift that God has given to you is to benefit the body, not just to benefit you. There is one gift that God has given to the church that actually benefits us solely, and that's the gift of tongues. You know, the, you know, Jude says it builds us up, right? And so that's a separate thing. But, you know, most of these other gifts are meant to, you know, benefit the body of Christ. And so he says, you know, and so we who are many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. You know, and this is, you know, an interesting idea, right? That we operate in the gift by the grace that's given to us. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, he talks about the gifts and grace. It's actually the same exact word. You know, it's the word charis, you know, which means free gift, right? And so, you know, God's given you a free gift, and then he gives you the free gift of grace to operate in that free gift. It's like, wow. You know, do you see how we can come to the conclusion that this is not for us? We had nothing to do with this. You know, it was all the Lord. You know, and so he lists out some of these things, right? Talks about prophecy. You know, talks about serving. Talks about teaching. Talks about exhortation or encouragement. You know, he talks about the gift of giving. You know, talks about the gift of leadership. You know, and the gift of mercy. And so this is just some of the gifts that are laid out. And you know, there's a couple of other passages in the New Testament that cling to this. And then he gets from verse 9, he gets to, you know, his Sermon on the Mount, right? Let love be without hypocrisy. This is the key, guys. If you can do verse 9, you will have an incredible spiritual Christian life. He says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. You know, I am convinced if you can do this in your life, you know, 1,000 evils will fall by your side. You know, I heard a mentor of mine many, many years ago told me this. He said, this is the key to the spiritual life, right? Love what God loves and hate what God hates. And he said, son, if you can do that, you know, you'll have an incredible Christian life. And it's true, isn't it? Right? That we ought to just love what God loves. Just love it with all of our heart and hate what God hates. You know, and if we can do that, man, our lives would be so full. You know, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Right? Turn away, right, from the things that are evil. Right? And Paul will even, you know, write about, you know, keep away from even the appearance of evil. You know, abhorring is just totally, you know, it's, don't even walk in gray area. You know, I mean, even if it has a hint of evil, turn away from it. You know, don't let it even be a part of you. Live above reproach. And you cling, you know, it's the idea of just, you know, embracing with all of your heart what is good. You know, and whatever is good, man, you give your life to that thing. Be devoted to one another, right? I mean, I could spend a week on this passage, but let's go over it real quickly. Be devoted to one another in brother love. Give preference to one another, right? The word give preference, another way to translate this is outdo one another in showing honor. You know what I mean? I mean, just go above and beyond. Outdo each other. This is the idea of this mutual respect, you know, that's coming. It's not false humility, but really out of our hearts, right? You know, outdoing one another and showing honor, right? Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. We're going to talk about this year. Contributing to the needs of the saints, right? You know, so it's talking about generosity. You know, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Associate with the lowly. You know, don't just hang out with your own friends. You know, don't just hang out in the same socioeconomic strata, you know, that you do. Associate with the lowly. The lowly, right, in this passage, right, is talking about the poor. You know, and this is not necessarily financially poor, but the poor in spirit, right? You know, in other words, talking about the marginalized, you know, people that are taken advantage of in society. It could be the crippled, the widow, you know, the orphan. You know, this all would be wrapped up in this idea of who are the lowly, right? And do not be wise in your own estimation. And then this is a passage that's oftentimes mispreached, okay? Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. You know, this is the key, right? Think about this. Let's say someone has wronged you. This is why forgiveness is so important. Let's say someone has wronged you, okay? Remember, God is a God of justice, right? Someone has wronged you. Ask yourself this question. Do you want to take revenge? Would you rather have God take revenge on your behalf? That's a fair question, right? Because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, right? And so we're wronged in our life. This is why it's best to just forgive. You know, and so when we forgive, you know, people that have wronged us, we're giving control over that situation to God. And God says, vengeance is mine. He's a God of justice, right? Justice will prevail. You know, and so do you want to take, revenge? Or do you want to back yourself up? Or would you rather have God back you up? You know, I don't know about you. I'd rather have God. You know, his wrath, you know, his vengeance is much greater than anything I can ever imagine, right? And he says, right, so leave room for the wrath of God. In other words, forgive, right? Just let go, right, of whatever situations are happening in your life, you know, that God starts moving, you know, and God starts working. And then he says, look, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Now, this phrase, burning coals upon his head, actually, this is a statement of honor. You know, I know I've heard in the past that it's like, you know, putting this hot, it's not negative by any means. You know, and what would happen is in the winter when it got quite cold, people would actually put coals on their heads to keep themselves warm. You know, and so this was always meant to be a thing of honor, you know, that you bless someone with in that way. And so, you know, because, you know, how you can understand this, read the next line, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, why would Paul say that if he meant to say that, yeah, if you love someone, if you, you know, feed your enemy or, you know, you give him a drink, then actually, right, you're really putting him in a bad situation. No, that's not the case at all. You know, and, you know, if you want to look at other scriptures, you know, Proverbs 25:21, and then the real point is 2 Kings 6:22, where this verse really comes from, you know, is when the Arameans were attacking Elisha. You know, I remember the king asked him, should we kill him? You know, and he says, no, just feed him, right? Set a huge banquet before them. And so that's what the king did. The king of Israel set a huge banquet before the enemies, the Arameans that were about to attack them. And then the scriptures, if you read the end of Kings, it says, and they never came back to Israel to bother them again. You know, and then there's something about repaying evil with good. You know, it changes people's hearts. You know, it changes, you know, people's minds. Have you ever, like, you know, like, Chinese New Year is like a perfect example, right? You know, maybe probably in your buildings, the same as my building, right? Our guards, and they're like the nicest they've been the whole year, right? You know, we have one guard in our building, and he's kind of a mean guy, right? He never smiles, right? And he just never, you know, and he's just always kind of rude, you know, at times, you know. But man, you know, you give him that lycee, you know, and next thing you know, the guy's smiling, and then, you know, usually lasts for about 2 or 3 weeks. He's really nice and opens the door for you and everything. And it lasts about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and then he goes back to his normal mode. You know, but just that simple gift, right? You know, that simple gift, you know, that changes the atmosphere around people. I mean, and we understand this in the natural. You know what I mean? And stuff. And why don't we apply these kind of spiritual ideas in our own lives? That's what all Paul is saying, right? Don't repay evil with evil. You know, this whole idea of revenge, I know we love revenge, right? I mean, every movie is about revenge. You know, or every Chinese movie, you know, kung fu movie, right? And, you know, and so many other things, all about revenge. You know, but that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. You know, God calls us to actually offer good, you know, instead, right, of paying back evil. It's easy to pay back evil, right? But it's something totally Christ-like to pay evil back with good. You know, and I think that's the point. And Paul is saying, look, you're justified by faith. Let me tell you what a life lived by faith looks like now. And he gives us this huge list, you know, and we could probably spend the rest of our lives absorbing this list. And then, you know, you add the Beatitudes, and it sounds very similar to Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it, right? The Beatitudes, very similar line of thought, you know, of this simple idea of sacrificing ourselves, you know. And the thing is, when God, you know, and Paul and Jesus, when he says these things to us, the whole point is God wants us to have an abundant life. You know, do you know what happens when you don't forgive or you can't forgive and, you know, and these kind of things? It kills you. It eats you alive. You know, and God wants us to live a full, abundant life. And so he gives us some keys, some secrets, you know, by which we can live our lives that'll bring about the fullness of God, right? Instead of sleepless nights, right, instead of inner torture, right, instead of our minds being boggled by so many different things. Right? So let's close our eyes today. For the next few chapters, it's going to be all about the Christian life. Our actions, our attitudes, our temperament. And so let's think about that Christian life right now. Our Christian life, yours, mine. Let's think about the Beatitudes and this abundant life that Paul offers us to live. And let's ask Holy Spirit to just speak to us today. Maybe there's some points here that you've been having quite a bit of difficulty grasping. Ask God to speak to you and through you. As Mon leads us in a song, let's just go before the Lord.
Pleasing sacrifice. wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. And all of my hopes and all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you.
Let's pray this morning that there would not be a divorce in our lives between our convictions and our actions. Let's pray that there would be a fluidity of this is what I believe and this is how it affects the way I live my life. See, for Paul, that was his main point, right? This is my convictions, right? This is what God has done for me, and the manifestation of that is how we live our lives. We can never divorce those things. You know, like the whole idea of hypocrisy in the church is just ludicrous. It should never exist. And as soon as that happens, what that means is there was a divorce from our convictions to our actions. And so let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the church. Right? Let's pray that would never, right, be that kind of disjointedness. Right, that it would just flow out of our lives. This is what I believe. These are my convictions. Right, let's pray that our convictions are not betrayed by our actions, and that we live. This is my Christian faith, and because this is my faith, this is how my life is laid out. And let's pray this morning that way. Let's pray for our body of believers that are going through different kinds of things. Let's pray for Hyja's uncle and Matthew Doble's aunt and Connie's aunt, Kian's mom and Chris Lee's aunt that are battling cancer. Let's continue to pray for Misun's dad and Belinda for their tumor. I don't know if you got the news yet, but Lizzie, the two-year-old that had the inoperable brain tumor, actually the tumor disappeared. Yeah, the doctors have no idea what's going on right now. But, I mean, just praise God. They're still trying to figure out what that means. But, yeah, basically the tumor just totally disappeared. Praise God. Let's also pray for Alex Lee's dad and my aunt and Jin's mom and aunt and Janine as they're going through chemotherapy or Janine's just finished. And let's just lift these people up before the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray for our members that are sick, but more than anything else, that need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray for Krista's aunt and Bonnie's grandfather, Rachel's uncle and great aunt, and Vivian's grandfather. Vivian's grandfather, the doctor has ruled out that he does not have Parkinson's. And so, you know, I don't know if that means he got healed or whatnot, but let's just continue to pray for his salvation. And let's pray for those that are sick. Let's pray for Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke, and for Benji, who has an allergy. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters looking for work, John and Sujin, Katharina, Pearl, Juhi, and Krista. Let's ask God to open doors for them, and let's pray. Let's go to our mission prayer focus this morning. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Pastor O. He's in Europe right now, finishing his defense for his PhD. Let's lift him up and allow him to study well during this time. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. Pray for the orphanage and pray for Grace and Bloom. Let's lift up the Philippines, pray for our clinic and Elder Chang, and let's pray for Bhutan and ask the Lord to continue to open doors for us to minister in this country. And let's pray for these three countries today. Pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up the IP team and Cascade, the Well, and local outreach. Pray for the leaders, Matt, Leanne, Larry, and Pastor Sophia. Let's ask God's grace to be with all the volunteers, and there'll be real significant shifts in people's lives through these ministries and our outreaches as well. Let's lift up. Pray for our house churches meeting tonight, Causeway Bay, MacDaddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Pray for the leaders. Pray for real significant discussions and sharing and worship and really the community and the body be built up during this time. Let's pray. Thank you. bless you today, God. We thank you for Paul's message to us, God. Lord, to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice before God. Lord, I pray, God, that there would be such a consistency in our lives, Lord, about what we believe and how we live our lives, God. Lord, that there would not be a divorce in our own minds, Father. And I pray that there would be a merging of the Christian faith and the Christian life. Lord, lead us, God, individually. Lead us as a church, Lord. Help us to be, God, that living example of Christ, Lord, to a world that's hungry, dying, God, for the revelation of Jesus. And so we bless you, God. Use us, Lord, today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.